Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
Flint Marco.
What do you want from me?
Remember Ben Parker? The old man you shot down in cold blood?
What does it matter to you anyway?
Everything!
You guys are probably familiar with Spider-Man 3, where, as you see in this particular scene right here, just kind of preface it for you guys, we have been using this particular series that we're doing, which is titled The Enemy Within, and today we're on part two of this series, and we've been using the movie clips from the Spider-Man 3 to try to help us to understand visually and using some pieces in it to help us understand the different things about the enemy within. Spider-Man, throughout this entire movie, one of the things that he struggled with different aspects of an internal enemy. And we learned from the Bible that we all have an enemy that's within us, and that is the sin nature that's within all of us. And we have to fight this sin nature that's within us. And so we're looking at different pieces of this enemy or different parts of this particular enemy that's within all of us and helping us to identify some tools, some things that can help us, you know, through the Word of God, to be able to fight this enemy within. One of the enemies that Spider-Man dealt with in this particular clip is the enemy of revenge, which is going to be our message for today. So if you're taking notes, part two is dealing specifically with revenge. Spider-Man was dealing with and struggling with the revenge that was in his heart, the revenge that developed in his heart. And it developed because of anger. He has some undealt with anger in his heart. And because he didn't deal with that anger properly, he developed this as he felt a need for revenge, and specifically against Sandman. And some of you guys are, if you're familiar with the movie, Marco, he was really not a bad guy. He just had a lot of bad circumstances that happened in his life. And one of them was he had a daughter who was really ill, and which led him to, you know, robbery. And he and one of his friends, they actually robbed a wrestling company. It was a company that was have wrestling matches and stuff like that. And after the wrestling was over, they actually robbed, his friend went in and robbed the guy of the money and what have you. And then the guy was running out, and Marco had stopped the guy to steal a car. They was hijacking a car or carjacking somebody. Turns out that the person that they was carjacking was Uncle Ben, which is Spider-Man's uncle. Unfortunate situations happen in that. Unfortunate things happen in that. Things that Marco never intended to happen. Marco didn't plan on becoming no robber, no thief. He didn't plan on his daughter becoming sick. He didn't plan on not having the money to be able to pay for, you know, healthcare for her, you know, so that she can get better. He did not plan on Uncle Ben getting killed, but Uncle Ben was accidentally killed when they were trying to carjack him. And so because of this, Spider-Man or Peter Parker, when they robbed the wrestling place, he let the robber get away because he wasn't paid for his work that he did for the wrestling company correctly. So he was like, hey, he let him get away. If he would have stopped that robber, it may have prevented his uncle from being killed. And so there was a lot of anger that he developed in his heart. One, because he realized that he could have possibly prevented his uncle's death if he had stopped the robber at the time who was involved in the accidental death of his uncle. He thought his uncle was murdered, killed on purpose, which he wasn't. It was an accident. And so Marco, who was a part of this whole robbery situation and identified by the police as the actual shooter, then Spider-Man felt it necessary, or Peter Parker felt it was necessary, to take out revenge on him. So today, again, we're talking about revenge specifically. Revenge, it happens in people's lives. It happens in our lives when we are angry. All of us have been angry before, and we're going to get angry. We're going to continue to get angry all throughout our lives. Amen. Anybody ever been angry before? If you say you haven't, you're a lie. and the truth ain't in you, right? Jesus told somebody that before. He told him, he said, you're a lie and the truth ain't in you. So I'm coming at your heart. Coming in. Anyway, so we've all dealt with anger before, and we're going to continue to deal with anger. The problem with anger is how we actually handle it, how we actually deal with it. We all have all kinds of feelings in us. We have some bad feelings. We have some good feelings. You know, we have our emotions. All of our emotions cause us to experience certain type of feelings. And these are feelings that God has given us. God has given us these emotions. He's given us the ability to have these feelings. God, he gets angry at times. Jesus even gets angry at times. There are several situations throughout the New Testament where Jesus got angry. There are situations all throughout the Bible where God got angry. The problem is, or the thing about anger, all of our emotions, all of our feelings that we experience, it's important for us to learn how to handle and deal with them, whether they're good, whether they're bad. It's our responsibility to control our emotions, and anger is one of them. So many people fall into this place of revenge because they don't deal with, they don't control their emotions, specifically dealing with anger. And it drives them to this place of uncontrolled or undealt with anger, which leads to revenge. Whether, you know, it's through a harsh word, you know, that you give to somebody, whether it's through giving someone a piece of your mind. And we know that some of us from time to time, we love to give somebody a piece of our mind, right? Just can't let it go. We like to, you know, sometimes, you know, get into a place of cussing somebody out. So, you know, all types of things, even, you know, turn into physical assault. All of these things are just a few of the ways that we handle or we deal with anger. We deal with this emotion that's called anger. We deal with this emotion called anger, you know, through, you know, giving people a piece of our word, a piece of our mind, through harsh words, through cussing them out, through physical assault even. And God wants us to learn that, hey, this is not the proper way for us to deal with those emotions. But instead, we need to deal with those emotions in a way that is pleasing to our Father. When we deal with these emotions in a way that is pleasing to our Father, then we get the results. So hopefully the end result is going to be an end result that's going to be edifying to us and going to be glorifying to the Father. Amen. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, it says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against your fellow man. It says, but love your neighbor as yourself. Loving your neighbor as yourself is a constant. It is a constant throughout the Bible. It's a constant throughout God's word. It is a constant throughout God's heart and desire for us and how we treat our fellow man. It is a constant that Jesus has given us in so many of his teachings. And then even beyond that, all of the disciples. Loving our neighbors as ourself, not excluding yourself, but is you have a responsibility to love yourself at a very high level. And through loving yourself at a high level, you're able to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against your fellow man. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, do not repay evil for evil or insult for insult. We know that we are the type of people that when somebody deals some evil toward us, we want to deal some evil back at them, right? I raise my hand, you know. That's me sometimes. Sometimes when somebody insult me, I feel like I have to insult them back, or I feel like I need to insult them back. The Bible tells us, do not repay evil for evil or insult for insult. It says, on the contrary, in other words, on the other hand, on the flip side, do this, repay evil with blessing. We know that this is a very difficult thing for all of us to do, and that is to repay evil with blessing. Amen. Somebody treats us wrong, somebody does something wrong to us, we don't want to bless them. No, I mean, you know, and here's the reason why we struggle with this, because we don't know how to bless them. And I think what we need to do when it comes to understanding this scripture and understanding God's heart in this is understand, what does he mean when he say, you know, bless them? You know, it's not like we give them a gift or anything like that. Or we go, oh, bless you, my son or my daughter, you know, because you have done me evil. No, that's not what God is saying at all. So anyway, let me move on before I can get stuck on right there. That's a whole message right there. So I'm going to move on. We'll touch on that one day in depth, okay? But again, it says, do not repay evil for evil or insult for insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Let me help you understand that. So it says, on the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Why? Because you are the type of person, you are God's child, you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been saved, bought with a price, you know, come into the saving knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ, you have solidified your place in God's kingdom, in heaven, okay, and because of that, you have been called, you have been placed, you have been set aside, you have dedicated yourself to the things of God, to the nature of God, to the following of God, to the understanding of God. And this is what God wants you to know. God is saying, this is me. He said, I don't repay evil for evil. I don't, trade insults for insults. Instead, when somebody does me wrong or when somebody does you wrong, find a way to handle that in a positive way so that you're not being evil back at them, all right? So a blessing, he said, by doing this, you will be blessed. Again, it's the ending of that scripture. It says, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. The way that you respond to people when they do evil towards you, when they insult you, when people do things that are wrong towards you, the way you handle that, the way you deal with that is going to determine if you're going to receive a blessing or not. God is saying, or Peter is saying here, Peter is saying that when you handle that the right way, when you take control of your emotions and you handle that anger and deal with it the right way, God will give you a blessing. So instead of cursing them, try to find something good or try to handle and deal with that in a good way so that you can receive a blessing. I hope that makes a little bit more sense to everybody. Yeah. Revenge. We're talking about revenge, so let me define it for you. Revenge is the action of inflicting hurt or harm to someone for an injury or a wrong that you suffered at their hands. A lot of people will from time to time, and you know, it seems like maybe daily sometimes, people do something that hurt us. People say something that hurt us. It brings us harm. You know, whether it's physically, whether it's verbally, you know, whatever it might be, people, we all on almost a daily basis, maybe experience some type of hurt or some type of harm from somebody or something. All right. So revenge is when you want to repay that. You want to inflict harm. You want to inflict hurt on them because of what they did to you. You know, you've all heard the saying, two wrongs don't make a right. Amen. We've been hearing that all of our lives, two wrongs don't make a right. And but when we're on the receiving end of that wrong, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that at all. But, you know, when we see somebody else, you know, and they on the receiving end and we want to help them try to, you know, navigate through that situation, we'll tell them, you know what, Marguerite, two wrongs don't make a right. But as soon as somebody do something to me, I ain't trying to hear that. I'm not trying to hear that. When you take revenge on, when you take revenge, you are using a wrong to try to fix the hurt that's been inflicted on you. It doesn't work that way. As much as our feelings and our emotions don't want us to operate in the right manner, and it wants us to operate in the wrong manner, and we got to be honest with ourselves. We agree with operating in the wrong manner, according to God's words, all right? But when we take revenge, you know, we're using a wrong to try to fix the hurt that's been inflicted on us. That's like, you know, you get a cut, you know, you get a cut on you or something like that, and you go out there and you grab a whole bunch of dirt and slime and grit and everything, and you put on there and try to heal your sore or your cut, you know. And it's like, wait a minute, that's not what you're supposed to be using, you know. You got to use something that's clean, something that's going to clean it out. You don't want to get it dirty, because you're going to set up infection and you're going to make the wound, you know, spread, and it's going to get down into your blood system. And then you're really going to be messed up right then, because you definitely don't want no infection in your blood system, right? Because if you get infection in your blood system, it's going to eventually get down to your what? Your heart. No, that's going to be trouble right there. Instead, if you get a cut, a wound or something like that, you find something, you use something that's going to clean it out. You use something that's going to prevent inflammation, something that's going to prevent infection setting up, right? We don't use wrong to try to right a situation. You know, here's one thing about it, you know, or maybe sometimes we want to inflict pain on people, or we want to take revenge on people because they inflicted some pain on us, you know, and so we feel like, hey, they owe it to us, right? Or we owe it to them to pay them back. Sometimes we just want to pay people back, not because, you know, the hurt, we just like that. No, they're going to feel this pain right here. You want people to feel the same pain that you felt, right? And so you want to inflict that pain back on them. Either way, getting revenge is not going to get you to the healing that you need. Repaying revenge to somebody, it is not going to bring you the healing that's necessary. Whenever you get hurt, you need healing. Yeah. Whenever you have been harmed, you need healing. And it's not, revenge is not going to bring healing to you in any way whatsoever. When someone hurts you, healing needs to occur. Yeah. It has to occur. It needs to occur. The first step for healing is, guess what? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Revenge is a thief to forgiveness. Y'all need to write that down. If you're taking notes, tweet that. Put it on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, Twitter. What else?
Any social media.
WhatsApp. What else? Anyway, whatever you want.
You know more than I.
Tweet that. Put that thing out there, man. Revenge is a thief to forgiveness. When you take revenge, you leave no place for forgiveness. And we don't even need to talk about forgiveness a whole lot, because you know what? God has already made it plain that we need to be a people of forgiveness. And that's a whole nother teaching on itself, because a lot of times when we talk about forgiveness, people don't have a full understanding about forgiveness, right? Jesus said, he was asked one time about, you know, how many times, you know, should you forgive somebody? And should you give them two, three, four times? Jesus said, forgive them 7 times, 70 times. It means he's saying, have a heart of forgiveness. Jesus is not saying that you just, when it comes to forgiveness, it is just unlimited, you know, it's unconditional. Well, you know what? He forgave us under a conditional situation. His forgiveness to us is not unconditional. His forgiveness to us is conditional. What is the requirement for us to receive forgiveness from Jesus Christ? I'll give you first thing and one thing. Ask. Mm-hmm. You have to ask for it. If you want forgiveness, you have to ask for it. That's a condition. All right. You don't just do all this wrong or do all this bad or commit sin or go against God's word or hurt your fellow man and then, you know, don't do nothing about it. And Jesus is going around saying, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. And you ain't doing nothing. There's nothing required of you. If there was nothing required of you, then it'd be unconditional. There is a condition. Amen. And when it comes to forgiveness, we have to understand that. When it comes to revenge, we have to understand that if we take our revenge, there is no place for forgiveness. We say, forgiveness, I'm throwing you out the window. You're not going to be a part of this situation. All right, let's move on. I'm not going to be on here long with you guys, all right? 4 stages to revenge. We're going to talk about 4 stages to revenge. Stage number 1, for those of you that are taking notes, I want you to write these things down. And that is our feelings turn sour. You know, revenge is a thing that starts in our emotions. It starts in our feelings, the feelings of anger, the emotions of anger. And if we don't deal with them, those things turn to actions. And that's where revenge comes into place. But stage number 1 is our feelings turn sour. We know that we've all been to that place where we've had some sour feelings about someone or about a situation. There's nothing wrong with your feelings. God gave them to you, but your feelings of anger not checked or not dealt with can turn sour. Anger feelings turn sour when we don't deal with them. They turn sour when we deal with them incorrectly. And so often we have these feelings of anger, these emotions of anger that's festering in us because of the hurt or the harm that somebody did to us. If we don't deal with them at all, or we deal with them incorrectly, then they become sour. We've all had, you know, had things to happen to us that made us angry. Maybe we got angry, you know, just a little bit, but it bothers us enough that when we don't want to deal with it, we get sour. Sometimes it's not even big things at all. It's just little things that we might get upset at. But if we don't deal with them, if we don't deal with them incorrectly, they'll turn sour on us. You know, if sometimes it causes us to get angry, you know, and you just ignore it or you leave it alone and it'll become sour. You know, how many of us have situations in our lives that, you know, we've been hurt and we've been harmed in some type of way. We've been offended in some type of way. And we just ignore it. We just don't even deal with it. We just leave it alone. And eventually that thing has the tendency to turn sour. It's like leaving milk sitting on the kitchen counter instead of putting it where it belongs, in the refrigerator. Milk is good. All right? Milk is good for the body. Ain't they always say milk is good for the body? Milk is good for the body. But guess what? Sour, spoiled milk, it'll make you sick. Mm-hmm. If you sit it out too long on the counter, it's going to get sour. It's going to spoil. Ignoring milk will go bad. And it's just like anger. Ignoring anger will go bad. If you let it sit out too long, it's going to get sour. If you allow for yourself to sit on this anger or sit on this offense too long, it's going to turn sour in you. So sometimes, or maybe more than we do, we need to actually address and deal with the anger that we're feeling because of the hurt or the harm that somebody inflicted on us. We need to address it. We need to find a way to handle it, handle our emotions, and deal with them in a way that is pleasing to God. Don't let your anger, your emotions turn sour. Stage number 2 is we carry our anger. We carry it around with us. No matter how hard we try to hide it, anger comes out in circumstances and situations when we least expected, when we did not plan for it to come out. You know, it may be your parents, you know, telling you to clean up your room. For those of you that are young in here, you know, your parents may tell you to clean up your room and you get upset about it. You get mad, you get angry. why do kids get angry when their parents tell them to clean up the room? You know, there's times where, you know, your parents tell you clean up your room and you don't get upset about it. You may not want to do it, but you don't get mad or angry about it. You know, you may be rebellious. That's a whole nother thing. But there are times where you might get angry. Why you get angry? There may be some deeper issues going on. There may be something else going on. You may have went to bed angry at your parents, and now they waking you up telling you to clean up your room. So you still got the anger on you from last night or whatever took place. You know, maybe it's your spouse, you know, asking you for some help with something. You know, for those of us that are married, sometimes our spouses ask us for some help with something. And, you know, we got an attitude about it. Like, God, now what's wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? You just because you still got that anger that you've been carrying around, anger that happened from 2 days ago. You still carrying around that anger. And then your spouse asks you to help them with something, and you respond in a way that is unpleasing or that is not pleasing to God or not honoring to your spouse because you're carrying around this anger that was undealt with. You know, maybe your friend just slick check you. You know, we got those friends and even family members, man, they slick check us sometimes, don't they? I mean, we sit down having just a nice, decent conversation, having fun, whatever. And they just slick check us like hard, boy. I got to tell y'all something, man. Aunt Willow, for those of y'all that our family and know Aunt Willow, she is so funny, man. I tell you what, she cracks me up all the time. But last week I was out at the house and I had told a joke. Me and a couple other family members were sitting around and what's Crystal's daughter's name?
Which one? The middle?
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, one of Crystal's daughters, I can't remember her name right now, but Carrington. Anyway, I had told her a joke and I told her a joke. I can't remember what the joke was. I told her a joke and she looking at me and she's like, she gave an answer and it was wrong, right? Ain't Willow sitting over on the side. She sit on the other couch and she started laughing. She said, girl, you slow. And the way she said it, the whole room fell out laughing. We all are cracking up. And this little girl is sitting over there. And she got her legs balled up in her arms. She like in a fetal position in the corner on the couch. And she's mad. I mean, she burning up. She's on fire while everybody else laughing, right? Sometimes our family will slick check us, right? And they'll slick check us. They don't mean no harm by it. They just having fun or whatever, you know what I mean? But sometimes if we have this anger that we've been carrying around, this offense maybe that we've been carrying around about that person, that slick check will become something that will just make it whole lot worse than what it should be. Instead of it just being a little joke, we'll turn that into a personal attack on ourselves. We feel like they're hurting us intentionally or they're harming us intentionally. No, they're not. They're not trying to do that. We all just having fun. You know, you try to hide this thing, but the real colors will show up. That's, you know, that situations may not be anything worth getting upset about because you have some anger in you that you've been carrying around and you get upset over things that you don't need to get upset about. So when you carry around this anger, it's like the littlest things that get you upset. Stuff that shouldn't even get you upset gets you upset. You know, it's like, you know, you take an offense or you take this undealt with anger and you put it in your pocket. You know, you take this thing, somebody offended you, somebody hurt you, somebody harmed you, they did something to you, you take it. And instead of you dealing with that emotion, that anger, what you do is you just take it and you put it in your pocket and you carry it around with you. And then another situation happened and then something happened that has absolutely nothing to do with that anger. And what you do is you'll pull it out and you use it. You know, it's right here in my hand, but I got it. I'm holding on to this. I'm carrying this thing and you put it back away in your pocket. Another situation that happened, you know, and if you pull it out again. And then sometimes people be looking at you like, man, you kind of sensitive, ain't you? Like, what's going on with you? You and your feelings, ain't you? You and your emotions. You ever heard somebody telling you and your feelings? Well, you know, when somebody tell you that, you just might be carrying around some anger in your hand, in your fist balled up, and you got it stuffed away in your pocket. And then that feeling, that emotion come out and people be looking at you because they don't really understand what's going on. They don't understand why you're reacting the way you're reacting. And they be like, man, you on your feelings today. Dang, what's going on, you know? So do not carry that around because it's unresolved offense and it's unhealed hurt. You got to deal with sometimes people, they say, let it go. And especially with Black people, we hate to hear people say, let it go. But sometimes it comes in the wrong times and the wrong situations. Just, you know, sometimes people say, let it go, or you know, they're not saying to you, you know, give me a pass for doing you wrong. They're not saying, give me a pass for, you know, the hurt that I inflicted on you. Or, you know, they say, sometimes people say, get over it, you know. Sometimes, not all the time, okay? Sometimes people just might be saying, you need healing. You need to let this go because you're not allowing yourself to heal from the hurt or the pain that's been inflicted on you. You know, sometimes you need to, they might be saying to you, you need to forgive. You got some hurt and some pain in you, and you haven't forgiven yet. And because you haven't forgiven yet, it's constantly showing up. It's constantly coming back up. Let it go. Get over it. You need some healing. You need to forgive. They just might be saying that. Stage number three, for those of you taking notes, is hiding our anger. A lot of us, we have anger situations in us. Somebody done affect, somebody done hurt us or harmed us, and we angry about it, and we will hide that thing. When you carry undealt with anger or unhealed offenses too long, you would eventually forget about them. They become hidden deep in your hearts. The book of Luke, chapter 6 and verse 45, it says, a good person produces good things from the depths of a good heart. It says, an evil person produces evil things from the depths of an evil heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Those good things that are deep down inside of a good heart will come out in your mouth. It will come out in your conversation. Those things that are evil, that are deep down in your evil heart, they will come out at some point, whether good or bad. Your mouth is going to give it away. Your mouth is going to tell on you. Your mouth is going to be your snitch. Sometimes we bury things deep in our hearts to the point where we've forgotten about them. We've totally forgotten about them. And you know, they become hidden. We begin responding to everything around us with anger, and we don't even realize why we're angry. You know, we begin to want revenge, and we begin to lash out at people that aren't even angry, you know, that aren't even angry, that we're not even angry with. Mm-hmm. You ever lashed out at somebody and you'd be like, you don't really have no issues with that person. But sometimes you lash out at them. You know, I remember watching a reality show the other day, and these two guys got into an argument, and they was arguing because they was really upset about these two or these several women who had a situation going on. And instead of them dealing with this anger that they had amongst themselves in a correct manner, it was affecting their whole circle of friends. And so one guy spoke up with anger because they not dealing with their anger. Then another guy spoke up, and them two angry, fussing, fighting at each other. And next day they realized, it was like, man, we were fighting. It was like, and they was apologizing. It was like, here we are fighting and talking to each other in this angry way. And this ain't have nothing to do with us. We both mad at them because they not handling deal with the issues they got on. And it was a positive. Sometimes we have anger in us, mm-hmm. and we be lashing out at people, and the anger that's in us don't even have nothing to do with them. But we don't even know why we're doing it. They don't even know why we're doing it. It's because we have buried that thing deep down in our hearts, and maybe we have totally forgotten about it. You know, in counseling, I used to do counseling a lot. And one of the things that I would do in certain situations, I would ask people, you know, why is it that you're so angry? What is it that you're upset about? What is it that you're mad about? What is it that you're angry about? It was very common for people not to even know what they were angry about. You know, they will pick a whole lot of little bit of stuff. You know, he did this, she did this, he said this, she said that, oh, mama did this, daddy did this, daughter did this, son did this, all kind of stuff. But none of it would be the true reason about why they were so angry. All those things would be, you know, results of their anger. It would be ways that their anger was coming out, but it would not be the actual reason why they were angry. So many people could not answer the question. And so what I would do is I would try to help them to get deep down into their heart so that we can identify the core of this anger. Because guess what? Healing cannot begin until you find out where the hurt is at. You have to get down and find out where the heart. Some people have buried it so deep in their hearts that they've forgotten about it. And if we can get deep down in there and bring it back up, then we can be like, ah, this is it. This is that anger that was never healed. This was that anger that was never dealt with, that's been hidden and forgotten about. Okay, what can we do? How do we handle this? How do we deal this? How do we bring healing to this thing? Amen. So undealt, if this is you, if this is you, look deep into your heart. If you find yourself sometimes, you know, acting in angry ways for no reason, or acting in angry ways, you know, lashing out at people, and you don't really truly understand why. I mean, you know what the situation was there, but does it really, is it really that? If you feel like sometimes maybe you have some deep hidden angers with inside of your heart that has been hidden, that you've forgotten about, try to find out what that is. Look deep inside of your heart so that you can allow for yourself to begin to heal. Fourth stage, we're almost done here. The fourth stage that leads us to revenge, and that is contempt. Contempt, I'm going to spell it for you so that people don't get this word confused with another word, all right? And that is C-O-N-T-E-M-P-T, contempt. The fourth stage that leads to revenge is contempt. I'm going to give you some synonyms of the word contempt. Scorn, disdain, disrespect, degenerate, mockery, ridicule, disgust, detestable, and the last one, hatred. Mm-hmm. When you get to a place of hatred in your heart because of some undealt with anger, because of some hurt or some pain that's been inflicted on you by somebody else, you get to a place of hatred, then you're at that fourth stage, which is contentment. And when you get to that fourth stage, which is contentment, it's going to come out in certain behavior, in certain ways in your behavior. It's going to come out through you scorning. It's going to come out in a way that you feel disdain toward this person. It's going to come out in a way that where you begin to disrespect this person. You have no respect for them no more. So you disrespect them a lot. You know, a denigration, you just degrade them. You put them down. You don't have anything positive to say about them. Everything you have to say about them or think about them is all negative. You mock them. You talk about them. You ridicule them. You know, every little thing that they do, you ridicule them about. You are just disgusted by them. You find them as being a very detestable person. And this is a dangerous place to be. Yeah. It is a dangerous place to be. Contentment or contempt is this. It is the disregard of an individual. It's when you disregard an individual and you see them as lesser, or you devalue a part of the you see them as a devalued part of society. In other words, you're not even on my level anymore. You're not important to me. If I don't ever see your face again, if I don't ever hear your name again, keep my name out your mouth and I'll keep your name out of my mouth. That type of stuff. You know what I mean? You see them as a lesser part of society. You devalue them when you get to that place of being contempt with the anger that you have as a result of the pain or the hurt that they brought upon you. When you reach stage four, you are now ready for full revenge. You know, the other stages, you know, cause you to deal with your emotions in wrong ways. But at this stage right here, it's now you ready. You're ready for full out revenge. It's on, all right? This is a dangerous place to be. This is when you have no more regard for a person and you want them to feel the pain and the hurt that they made you feel. This is the place where Spider-Man was at when he ran into Sandman. And when he ran into Sandman, he was ready to destroy him. He was ready to end his life. He devalued him. He did not see him as a valuable part of society anymore. He did not see anything in him that was worth anything whatsoever. Peter Parker wanted him to feel the pain that he felt when his Uncle Ben had died. Peter Parker thought Sandman murdered his uncle, but in fact, it was an accident. If Peter Parker would have controlled his anger, if he would have controlled his emotions, if he would handle them in the right way, he would have given himself the opportunity to heal from that. But he would also have given himself and the Sandman an opportunity for the truth, the real truth, to come out. Once the real truth had come out, he may have made different decisions on how he would have handled that situation. Sometimes sometimes we're ready to take revenge on people. We treat people in certain ways. We're ready to repay evil for evil or insult for insult without having all of the knowledge about the situation. And we're just ready to attack. We're ready to take out revenge on somebody. Do just like Spider-Man. So my last words for today is this. We need to learn to control our anger. We all have emotions. We all have feelings, good and bad. And they are our responsibilities to handle and deal with them any way that is pleasing to our Father. And that is learning to control your anger. This will keep revenge out of your heart if you do so. We need to check our feelings. When we get in our feelings, we need to put our feelings in check. Don't let them turn sour. Put them in their proper place. Don't let them sit out forever and undealt with forever. If you have to deal with it, you have to talk about it, you have to pull somebody to the side and sit them down and have a conversation with them. You know, by doing so, you may get some understanding about that situation, and it may begin the healing process. You know, letting it go. Finding healing in forgiveness. When you are hurt, somebody inflicts hurt or pain on you, find healing in forgiveness. Remember that revenge is a thief of forgiveness. Don't hide it in your heart. Do not let it get hidden in your heart. Do not forget about it. Let it get so deep to the point where you forget about it. Talk to somebody talk to a wise person about it. Don't talk to everybody. Sometimes we talk to too many people. We talk to too many people. Y'all need to reduce the number of people that y'all be talking to about your stuff. We talk to too many people about our stuff. And we need to look for somebody that is wise, that's full of wisdom. Someone that you know that's going to talk some sense into you. Someone that you know that's going to tell you the truth. Someone that you know that's going to, you know, tell you, you know, use the word of God. You know, don't be ashamed or afraid to somebody tell you, hey, this is what the Bible says, or this is what God says. You know, this is my life experience. This is what I know. This is what I understand. This is what I've learned. And maybe some of these things can help you deal with your anger. Talk to somebody with wisdom. Or if you have to, get counseling. There's nothing wrong with counseling. Get you some counseling. Get somebody who's a professional, been certified, got a master's degree, a doctor's degree sitting on hanging on their wall, and sit down and talk to them. They have went through the necessary training. Why? So that they can help. That's why. And lastly, don't be driven by hatred. Man. Remember to love everyone, even when they do you wrong. Amen.
If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.